Everyone's asleep.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Episode in the spasmodic reaction to a vaccination sense of the word. That's what we do here. We just get freaky with it. Speaking of getting freaky with it, our very special guest, Paul, is having one of those nerd problems. Okay, I came up with a joke the other day, and if you want to see, hear any more of my incredibly lame, bad jokes, you can go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and up there you'll see all these other little things, you know, like radio archives, chat room, and all that kind of stuff all listed there. And there's a bit called humor, and if you just hover your mouse over there, a little bar will drop down to jokes. And some terrible jokes in there. I'm not sure if this one's in it, but why are nerds afraid to get married? Because they're afraid of bad Wi-Fi. Yeah, sorry about that. Anybody out there who's a nerd or a wife, for that matter, because it must suck. I wanted to kind of get into what I did last night, actually, seeing as our guest has dropped off. Yep, he's down. Okay, moving right along. The caller number is 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Now, what I was doing last night is getting paid $17 an hour to film some globalist think tank debate. It's called the New Zealand Institute, and it's a merger of the Business Roundtable Group. Yes, I know all these names are sounding really nice and friendly and all of that, but in my experience, anything official, basically, that is more or less a think tank, is basically just a brainwashing panel. Okay, and dig this. This was the debate. Whether or not we should ban all Chinese foreign ownership or not. That is the myopic debate. Okay, banning all Chinese ownership and all trade with China. That's your option over retaining sovereignty. And the way they argued it was very interesting, though. The argument was basically like this. Look, we maintain a good level of trade already with China. So with our free trade deals and everything like that, it's going to be good for our economy. So why sell them our land? So basically, the argument against selling your strategic assets and your only finite research resource, really, which is land, as far as I know, no countries are actually making the stuff, apart from maybe Dubai, and it costs ridiculous amounts, and it ain't worth it. This is what's going on here. They're just coming in, buying a strategic reserve.
You guys call in.
Oh, you're back, mate.
Yes.
Okay, we've got you.
All right, awesome.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. You know, for your viewers, this is Paul Wesley, a.k.a. Prince True Chaser. You know, I'm a freedom fighter. I'm a man of love and light. I do it all, so it's... You know, it's good to be here, bro.
Is your brother by chance a true bourbon chaser?
I don't know, but bourbon's not that bad, but I don't know if that's my brother.
Okay. Well, there's got to be some kind of camaraderie there anyway. But tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
All right, well, first off, I'm just a normal guy from, you know, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and, you know, I just bring truth and truth and awareness to people. And, you know, it all first started out when, you know, the people say, well, you know, when did you wake up? When did you realize that about the New World Order, about the crooked, you know, cabal and system that's, you know, the elite? And I always kind of felt like I was always awake because I was always different when I was a kid, you know? And, you know, I just looked up in the sky. I seen the chemtrails being sprayed in the sky. And I looked around in Philadelphia, and there was no one in a city of millions and millions of people doing anything about it. No one even knows anything about this stuff that's going on. You know, not the Rothschilds, not the, you know, the elite, not chemtrails, nothing. And I just, you know, I looked around and you know, I thought to myself, I'm like, well, you know, I could work a 9-to-5 normal job and be a slave to the system, or I could actually get out and, you know, try to wake people up to this stuff that's going on. And I've just been putting one foot in front of the other, dude, and videoing and confronting people, you know, like Channel 10 News, the media, I confronted them, and I confronted CBS3, but that actually got ripped off my YouTube channel. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it all just started. I'm like, you know, I'm just a truther, man. And it all just started, you know, when you see something that's screwed up in the world, you just, you know, you have a choice. You could either stay asleep and you know, be a part of the slave system that we live in, or you can say, you know what, look, I'd rather fight and, you know, fight the system. And if I go down fighting, it's better than, you know, knowing what's going on and not doing anything.
Yeah. And it alleviates your madness to do something about the stuff that's making you mad.
Right.
Because basically, I look at it like this. Unless we all help each other in every way we can, we're all screwed in every way we can be. So if you're the person in the city and you notice that there's nothing of this nature, I mean, you that is exactly what happened to me, Paul. I just noticed that there's... Because you're in a city of a few million people, I'm in a country of a few million people, exact same scenario. Nobody out there with the cameras going up and talking about the New World Order and asking those kind of questions and taking the real truth into the teeth of the enemy kind of thing. Nobody.
I agree. And now, I agree.
Since you've started, I'm acting under the assumption since you started, there's now more.
Oh yeah, most definitely. You know, and a lot of people, you know, have to realize, especially I really want to get this across to your viewers, is that when, you know, if you know we're being slow poisoned and slow killed, if you know this isn't just about America, this isn't about Britain, this isn't about New Zealand, this is worldwide. It's a one world government. You know, it's not about race or skin color, none of that shit. It's, you know, and the thing I want the viewers to know that is you know, when you speak out. When you find out about what's going on, it's scary. It's really it makes people angry that I've you know brought attention to this too. But you're going to be called crazy. You're going to be you're going to lose friends, family. Just get ready for it because a lot of people are going to say you're a kook, you're a lunatic. Yeah. And you know
that's why when I'm bullhorning, I say if you ever hear anybody talking about chemtrails or the global elite or anything, please immediately rush up to them and call them a conspiracy theorist. I can guarantee you they would have never heard it before.
it's rough, but you know, in my experience, you know, if you look, Vin, if you look at like guys like you know, big names, like you know, they basically, you know, they cater to a certain group, I'd say. But I'm out in like the projects and in the ghettos of neighborhoods where, like, you know, the low income folk, you know, they don't have computers or they don't, you know, they don't have the, you know, the resources to know even where to look. You know what I'm saying? And I'm out there giving out flyers, I would say about four times, maybe even five times out of the day about this nasty stuff that's going on. Because they're the people we need to wake up, you know. We need to wake up the people that, the majority of the people that aren't, you know, are kind of, I would say, you know what I'm saying. They're hard to reach.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think when you're walking around an orchard and you're trying to pick fruit, what do you try to get? Do you try to get the low-hanging fruit that's real easy to get to, that's nice and ripe, that you can fill up your bag and finish work for the day? Or do you spend all that time frustratingly attempting to climb such an enormous and impossible tree to grab a piece of fruit that turns out to be rotten?
Right.
Conversations we have on the street are very interesting, aren't they? They can go any which way.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go.
I agree. It's you know, I've got this new series out on my YouTube. It's called Chemtrails Street Interviews. And that's just, you know, randomly going up to people and saying, hey, look in the sky, dude. What do you see? You know, and I try to think outside the box with the way I do my videos. I mean, you know, I try to look at what's already been done to wake up the masses and say, okay, A, B, C, D has been done. Let me try E, F, G. You know what I mean? Let me think outside of the norm and do shit that no one's ever done, and maybe that'll help wake up more people, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I don't know. When you talk about the whole idea of waking people up, is there a goal in mind, like a specific number or a specific amount of topics that you want to wake people up to? And I'm not sure, because I'm of the opinion that you can't wake people up. It's not possible. For example, nobody woke you up, did they? Because you went out, you did a whole bunch of research, and it was the fire that was within you that made you seek out the knowledge and trawl through all the websites and read the articles, watch the documentaries, keep up with the YouTube channel, that kind of stuff, right?
I would agree. I would agree about 90% to that, yes. But, I mean, it also, it's kind of like, you know, if you have someone that, you know, if you have a village around the way that's burning, and you know, you know about it because you see it, but the next village don't know about it. And you say, you knock, you know, you hit somebody on the head and say, "Hey, look, man, check this out. We need some help over here." You know, that kind of helps things out. I mean, you know, you're right, absolutely right, man. I looked up in the sky. I seen the stuff. I researched things, and then one thing led to another. I mean, I got into like ancient history of humanity, and that's a whole different ball game. But to really get deep down into where the elite is, but you know, I've noticed by actually, you know, interacting with people, man, that makes a really big difference, because then it gets them on their journey of research, you know, to wake, you know, faster wake up, I guess, wake up faster.
Mm-hmm. Do you notice there's a difference in perhaps regions or something? Like, is there something very specific about your town? Does it have these characteristics of how people react to you? Or is it just a globalized society and basically we're all brainwashed in our various countries and our various school systems to act the same way that the global elite want us?
I think you hit it right on the nail. I mean, it's exactly what it is. It's from cradle to grave, really. You know, it's in America, especially in Philadelphia, you have different neighborhoods where it's like black people live here, Puerto Rican people, Hispanic people live here, you know, the white people live here. And, you know, it just seems like they separate each nationality and they have us, like, fight with each other. And that plus the mainstream media constantly lies. You know, the stuff that's on TV is to mind program people from cradle to grave. You know, the whole idea of, okay, well, you're going to, you know, if you look at reality TV, that's a really good example, because it's all judgmental, and then that's part of what TV does. It's like, oh, you can't sing, you can't dance, you can't act. You're a loser.
Have you noticed how much reality TV has actually just kind of taken over just mainstream TV, like American Idol and all of this kind of junk, right? And it turns out that you know what the cheapest form of television to produce of all time is?
Reality TV?
Yeah.
It's horrible, dude. It's just, it's disgusting. Have you ever watched Sesame Street?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that Oscar Grouch was the bum of the show and he was automatically judged by all the little kids? I mean, it goes back that far, Vin. It's like, don't talk to Oscar. He's a grouch. Like, are you kidding me? Like, early age judging. You know, and I think that the elite, you know, they plan properly. They, I believe they have time travel tech.
Well, you know, actually, the time travel tech in the Sesame Street links up for me, because I had an idea for a picture. You know, like where you see those pictures in the band Tool and stuff like that, and they're all real trippy from like DMT trips or something like that, and you call them Ayahuasca the Grouch.
Oh yeah.
All right. Sorry.
Okay. No, I'm fine, dude. I'm ready, man. Just, you know, I'm just...
Well, you seem more onto it than I am today. I was out late last night.
Yeah, late. What'd you do last night, bro?
Oh man, filming scumbaggery debates between basic New World Order protoplasm trash, basically for $17 an hour. It was awful. It was awful. Okay. But there was free beer. And free pizza, and a debate between this left group and this right group, and all these investors and all these business roundtable people all around there, right? And you know what it reminded me of, man? Somebody told me once that when Adolf Hitler was giving his speeches in little pubs and bars in Germany and things of that nature for the Nazi party, he was a great speaker and all of that kind of stuff. But somebody was paying for all this free alcohol, all this free food, so that when everybody had been there and mingling and talking for about a half an hour or something like that, then he'd come up and speak and say, the workers need jobs. Yeah, the people need homes. Yeah, and we need an infrastructure. Yeah, and we need to make sure that we kick out the bankers, and they all voted for him, and he led them all to a slaughter. It's a great little recruitment arm thingy, you know, just get people drunk and under the influence and just make sure that they get recruited into the old spiraling arm of the New World Order secret societies. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is the Prince Truth Chaser, and we'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
The flight to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you, give me a dessert. Your dessert, you prick, give me that dessert. Have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. You want to know what it's like? You can experience going to New Zealand. It's very simple. Sit in a chair for 19 hours and take your hands and press your head as hard as you can. And don't stop. Don't stop. 19 hours, just like this. And then at the end of 19 hours, you pull your hands off and you feel like you're in New Zealand. You certainly won't feel like you're home. They say that New Zealand's beautiful, and I don't know, because by the time I got over the jet lag, I had to go.
Right,
and it seems
back,
to me, if you're
going to
travel for 19 hours to another country, when you get
I would
there,
like to welcome back my very special guest, Prince Truth Chaser. And what was it we were talking about over the break about how I got into all of this? And the long and the short of it is I got arrested and did community service and then became a really good salesman and got screwed over by three different sales company end over end. And then I started listening to American talk radio in the conspiracy field, stuff like that, watching documentaries, found out that there was nothing like that at all here and started doing it, and here I am. And, and what about you, man?
Well, you guys can find me on YouTube, just YouTube, Prince True Chaser, Facebook, Paul Wesley, or Prince Space in between True Chaser, just like to throw that out there. Subscribe to the channel, Truth, of course, but, a little bit about myself, trying to keep everybody, updated on who I am. I grew up in Philadelphia in a poor neighborhood. We really didn't have much as a kid. I graduated high school, did a little bit of college. I would say about a year of college. It wasn't for me. I said, what the hell? I got a CDL, truck driver license, a carpenter's apprenticeship. But something wasn't right. You know what I'm saying? Then something, the normal, everyday career life for me, it just wasn't right. And everyone's like, Paul, you should work a 9-to-5 job. And I just, this is what I do. Bringing truth and awareness of the nasty shit that goes on to people. That's what I do.
We also just violated FCC regulations. You can't say that word, mate. And I apologize to the affiliates. But don't worry. It kind of happens regularly on this show for some reason. People feel they can swear around me.
Sorry about that.
I'm such a confident guy. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
But, I just bring awareness to people is what I'm all about. And, it feels good when people come up to you and they give you a hug and they say, hey, you're really doing something positive. And that's what it's all about, And like I said, I grew up in Philly and, I had a wooden, I guess, never had a golden spoon. I guess you more like, so let's call it a wooden spoon. But, life is what we make it, as long as we keep putting one foot in front of the other. And especially with the truther movement. And, you know, like I said earlier, you're going to get laughed at. You're going to get ridiculed sometimes. But if you believe in what you believe in and you know it's all truth, just keep going. Because people that, you know, people that will knock people like me or people like Vinny, you know, they're just, you know, half of the time they're either bitter because they're not happy with their lives or they're just not awake to what's going on. But, you know, and that's what it's all about. I mean, I pretty much think that, you know, the New World Order plan is real. There's nothing fake about it. You know, I mean, is this just New World Order topics here? Can I get into other things or what?
You can get into anything you want, man. That's the whole point of the show, is to give people a platform to talk about whatever they want.
All right, fine. Well, one of my passions is the whole, you know, the interdimensional time traveling alien abduction scene. And I really want to press a little bit of that is because the New World Order and the alien, you know, underground bases, it's all the same agenda. And, you know, shape-shifting reptilians, I'm sure a lot of people have heard David Icke speak about it. You know, Carla Turner, she was an expert on it. She was, you know, she died. Phil Schneider died. There's a whole lot of people that once they open up the box to connect the Illuminati, New World Order come out in with the whole, you know, extraterrestrial, it's all one. So it's the whole planetary takeover, one world government, it's all the same, it's all connected.
So it's like a galactic game of Milton Bradley's Connect Four.
Pretty much. And you know, it's pretty much where what had happened was the Zeta Grays came down and, you know, Germany said, we don't want you here. They were in contact with the Giza intelligence in the Middle East. And that's one of the reasons, well, I'll get into that later, but, you know, America and other countries said, hey, look, man, you can take a couple head of cattle from abducting people, and, you know, we just want technology. We want to do reverse engineering and get into dark matter technology, and they've been doing it. But there's a real big problem now. It's because the Zeta Grays are actually a slave race to what's called the Dracos, the Draconian Empire, who basically, you know, they've been here, you know, since the beginning of time, from what I can understand. I mean,
I thought Draco. I thought Draco was a music company that Dr. Dre set up.
the Dr. Dre. What is it called? Studio.
Like Dr. Draco.
Yeah, Dr. Draco.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know. So basically, what I believe is going on now is this: a Christianity. Religion is BS, in my opinion. It's a easy way to enslave the masses and, you know, put fear throughout, you know, worldwide. And I believe in my heart and through my research, what I've done is that, you know, what's happening now is that the elite, the Illuminati, you know, they worship these beings. They worship these, you know, fourth dimensional reptilian beings, these Zeta Grays, and they're in contact with them and selling humanity out. There's a hybrid program that's been going on for a long time now, and these hybrids are here. And now everyone talks about, you know, the Illuminati and the New World Order, how they want to kill off 90% of the population. Now, if that is fact, which a lot of us believe that this is to be true, who's going to take over when 90% of the population is dead? It's going to be the hybrids. And you know, that's a part of the whole technical trade with the Gray Zetas, and you know, the reptilians are sitting back and they're just like, hey, yeah, go ahead, do it. And you know, what just happened, Vin? They had this like rover or something that went on Mars or something like that.
Oh, I loved it, man, because they sent out the pictures from the feed, right, and it showed the red sand and the blue sky, and suddenly everywhere blue sky. What? And suddenly this big viral rage starts spreading out over the internet, and they're like, sorry, we need to the picture's a little bit fuzzy or something, you know, to just make some crap up, and they come back and they go, oh, the picture's much better now, and it's black and white.
that.
So you can't tell it's the blue sky or the red sand. And they juxtaposed that right next to the big, beautiful digital kind of 3D mock-up stuff that they've got, doing these beautiful camera pans around the rover, you know, simulating and all of that, seeing all the red sand. But apparently we don't have the technology to send back a color photograph.
Oh, my God, really, really. And, you know, there. I think it's Canada that has actual photographs of a Sphinx on Mars. They have photographs of pyramids on Mars. There's ice on Mars. So, I mean,
ruined,
you know,
cities.
Oh, it's crazy, man. It's just
rivers,
so much.
Trees.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe this to be true? I mean, what do you think? Do you think
I've seen pictures, and I'll tell you what, man. This is my same general rule for everything and whether or not I believe it's true. Does it currently physically affect me right now? No.
It does not.
So does it actually technically matter in terms of my survival whether or not it's true? No.
It does not. Right.
But is it interesting? Yes. Is it a possibility? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's just leave it there. Whether or not it's true is irrelevant because it poses no threat to me. And whether or not it's interesting is very relevant because interesting stuff leads you in different directions. And it enables you to think in ways you never thought before. Even if the information's not true, it can still trigger very real reactions in yourself and positive changes in your life, provided you know what you're doing. In relation to Mars and aliens and all of this kind of stuff, you know, like it's quite possible for a lot of people to be freaked out about this. Like, there's a whole universe full of aliens out there. There's ancient civilizations on Mars. There's alien implant chips in George W. H. Bush's freaking brain pan, and his testicles are actually an egg womb sack for some alien chest burster. A kangaroo hybrid that they cooked up in Area 51. You know, it doesn't matter whether or not this stuff is real or crazy or whatever, because believe me, if we put all this stuff on Ripley's Believe It or Not next to other stuff that we just made up off the top of our heads, you probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference, would you?
Yeah, really.
So in essence, what is real? How do you define real? What are the parameters of your reality? What are the parameters of your thought? Are there any parameters? Do you have any actual rules? Because I'm starting to think that I can come up with general descriptions and stuff of how I do things, but there's no such thing as a rule because the rules change as the circumstance do. Otherwise, I don't think I'd survive.
Mm. So, hey, Benny.
Mm-hmm.
Are we? What do you see 2 years down the road? Let's just say 3 years down the road, because everyone's going on about December 22nd to 2012. What do you think is going to happen?
I thought everybody was talking about December 21st, 2012.
All right. Well, I'm hearing. What is it? The 21st into the 22nd, something like that.
Yeah. 21, 1, 2, mm-hmm. 1, 2. 21st of December 2012. Well. I don't know. I got three takes on it, right? A1, it's a Mayan prophecy thing, and it's kind of a little bit one way or the other. It's wishy-washy. We don't know exactly what's going to happen because they have this dragon spilling out water all over everybody, and that could be construed as a serpent of wiseness or enlightenment or goodness knows what. Basically, the upshot of it is some people reckon that it means we're all going to die in some horrible flood and catastrophe. Some people think it means the Earth is simply going to be reborn and we won't have to deal with any of these New World Order scumbaggery or false duality or wars for no reason and toxic crap everywhere. And we're going to actually, you know, just have a big shift and evolve somewhat rapidly. And that's two sides of it. The other side of it is it's all a hoax, all a hype, all being put up there by the New World Order to distract everybody and to make them think that there's no point doing anything anyway because it's all going to end regardless. Right. Kind of like doomsday predictions in the Bible kind of make people do that. I've met a lot of Christians who are just basically sitting there doing absolutely nothing, waiting for the end times, instead of actually doing something about getting prepared or trying to make a positive difference in this world in any way.
Good point. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Have you heard of the White Hoods? I mean, the White Hats, White Hoods, but they're against the Cabal, the Dark Hoods, Dark Hats. Have you heard of this group?
Yeah. Drake and all, and David Wilcock and all of that jazz?
Mm-hmm. Do you
simultaneously, all scumbag group?
Yeah. Do you think it's possible that, you know, these people are actually being rounded up right now and that,
Hey, like I say, man, anything's possible. Aliens, flying spaghetti monsters coming from our planet, and slurping my brain out of my ears with a silly straw is technically possible. I think it's likely. But this whole thing about somebody else is going to come in, swoop in, and save the day, right. like underdog styles. Come on.
It's rubbish, dude. It's bull crap. It's not going to happen.
See, even if it is true, and even if it is happening, do you think I'm going to change my tune? Do you think I'm going to slow down? Hell no. Exactly. I'm going to push harder.
Right.
Because I'm going to keep doing exactly what I'm doing, because I'm being successful at it, until the fat lady sings. And as far as I know, the White Hat Society has not revealed any fat ladies in their employment.
No one's singing yet. I haven't heard any songs yet, so.
Apparently Timmy Geithner got arrested or detained, and squealed like a little jailbird. Oh, it's Poppy Bush. He's making us do it all. He's the crime lord here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, because look at it this way. Are we fighting that fight between these big apparatus of the White Hat Society, intelligence operatives, and blah, 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 all the way up here? Or are you and me fighting on the street with the normal people? I think it's like this war has many fronts, and every soldier has a post, and that post is critically important strategically to the overall war effort. Right. If you're a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, you can make a difference in this world. If only you were to take that butcher's knife, or take that candle, or take that very, very hot oven implement and shove it into a Rothschild's face, it would hurt them. Yes. We'll be right back. No one's gonna take me. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in the world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose that sense of humour, you go friggin' nuts. A few announcements. Birthdays, first of all. My man Werner, who is a big fan of the show down in Aussie, has been sending me some equipment, some lighting, and a shoulder-mounted camera thing so I can walk around and have hands-free to megaphone and strangle David Rockefeller. You know, it's great. And so big happy birthday to Werner, my man, down in Aussie. And also the other birthday announcement, it is Blue Shield's birthday. For those of you who are watching on the delayed broadcast on the YouTube, you'll be able to see I've got a little Blue Shield thingy hanging around my neck. And you can get massive discounts now, like, for example, the little M series, which is the one that you hang around your neck in the office kind of thing, along with your little key card, so that you've always got something around your neck protecting you from the radiation in the office, the little M series. And they used to be like $90 US, now they're $50. Okay, here we go. And there's a lot of reductions all over the place, like the plugins, hugely down from $175 down to $99. It's got a 15-meter radius, so it basically just does a whole house. You usually put that in maybe the family room or something like that, or if you've got a big computer room where people are normally in, put it in there, wherever the radiation and stuff is the baddest. And also, we've got these headsets available, so you can plug them into your phones or your iPods or whatever, and they've got a little blue shield inside the headset, so it protects you against that stuff while you're listening to your music or having your phone calls and such. Huh? All right. Well, anyway, for any more info about that, just go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and click on the blue shield banner that's right up the top there, and it will take you to the page with all of that jazz. And also, the next three purchases, the Blue Shield guys really love me for some reason. The next three purchases, Blue Shield's actually going to be donating all of the proceeds to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. So, yeah, if you want to support me and get yourself a Blue Shield, cruise on in there and hook yourself up. What was the other thing that I wanted to announce? I forget. Damn it. Oh, well. Oh, yeah! I remember Charlie McGrath, wideawakenews.net. Have you ever heard of this guy, Brooks?
Oh, I have not.
He's a really, really awesome radio show host, man. And he's got me on his show directly after I finished the show today. So if anybody else would like to listen to an extra couple of hours of Vinny, then go to wakenews.net. As soon as we go off air today, and I'll probably also be recording that too and uploading it to the YouTube channels as well. Be good. All right. Business is taken care of, thankfully. And now back to the show. My very special guest is Prince Truth Chaser. And this is another point that I'd like to make as well. If you want to be a truther or whatever, and you want to be able to survive, take the money. If people say, man, I love what you're doing, here's $20, take it, okay? Because you're doing something that is worthwhile for people, all right? And you need food and water and shelter just as much as the next man, and you can't work for the man, so you don't have the choice. Yeah, beggars can't be choosers, I say. And roughing it as a truther, bro. Mate, it can be a real harsh mistress. And so you've got to accept every bit of charity that comes your way, because after all, what you're doing is essentially sacrificing your life for the betterment of everybody else's.
Truth be told.
And what about you, man? How can people help you out? You got a donate button or something?
No, I don't have any of that, man. It's all out of my pocket. Events I've ever went to, I paid for. You know, I'm giving out free T-shirts, free Truth Chaser T-shirts. So if anyone wants any, go on to my Facebook, Prince Truth Chaser. You know, on my YouTube, Prince Truth Chaser. I have videos with We Are Change New York. I was live at Ground Zero. I have Alex Jones videos. This is all me live, folks. I've done a chemtrail expert, Sophia Smallstorm, reptilian expert, alien expert, Peggy Kane. Oh, man, where do I stop? I've got a lot of Occupy videos that I've done. I don't know, man. It's all there if your guests want to check it out. As far as money, I haven't actually asked for any donations for anything yet, but if I ever write a book,
but I know for a fact people have bought your coffee or bought your meals or something like that, given you a little bit of gas money, anything?
No, dude. This has all been me, dude, all solo, man. I just I'm just now starting to get recognized on a really good, you know, audience. Like, a lot of people are starting to wake up to who I am and what I'm about now. So, you know, if you want to buy me a coffee, yeah, I'm all for it. Cappuccino, French vanilla.
Oh, mate, because I did it for 4 years before I was able to buy my own coffee.
Oh, yeah.
like, seriously, dude, I had to be like learn how to be the ultimate truther mooch. And yeah. And everybody was pretty happy because I was churning out like a video pretty much every 2 days from a protest or a public meeting or something like that. So I was getting really out there and in everybody's face. I started putting all these videos onto DVDs, design the DVDs, print them, design the covers, everything like that, and just ask people for donations. And if they give me a donation, I'll give them a DVD or whatever. You know, they can give me whatever's convenient for them. Cost price for the DVD. Give me $20 for the DVD. It doesn't matter to me. And
I'm sorry.
You really had to kind of be incredibly creative in order to support yourself in modern life. Like, in order to do what you want to do and have enough money to live, you in turn have to work harder than you should ever have to.
Right. I agree. And I think the DVD thing is a really good idea as far as, like, what you said. And, you know, you're really getting a lot more for... You know, like you, Vin, you make the DVD collection and off of all your vids and all your interviews and all that you do. You know, the viewer is actually getting a lot out of that because you're getting a lot of good, solid information and truth. And I thought about doing that. I'm making a DVD set of all the videos I've ever done, and I've got a lot of great stuff coming up. I have a radio show also.
Are you archiving your radio show?
I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it yet. I'm doing it via Skype, so it's my first show was on my YouTube. The sound quality's not that great, but it's basically via Skype.
Well, what you can do is you can use Skype Recorder. Are you using Mac or PC?
I'm using a. You know, and this goes back to me doing all this out of pocket, man. I'm using a tablet, dude. I'm using a Motorola X-Zoom tablet. So, you know, I mean, all my videos have been done with a phone. Everything.
That's brilliant.
It's amazing, people say, but I'm, like, right there where the action is, dude. The more money I make, you know, I mean, the better equipment I could buy, but... You know, just about right now, I do what I can with what I have. So.
What about this? Instead of asking for donations, why don't you ask for equipment?
Yeah, that's a good idea, right?
What kind of gear do you need right now? Have you got a standard tripod and a camera, or do you need lighting? What? A decent mic.
A decent mic would help.
Yeah,
but you know, this is all for the people. So I mean, you know, I'll have everything hopefully another 2 months. So hopefully a lot of the equipment I need. It's just, you know,
this
is all out of my pocket, man.
Well, the one that I've got here, the Yeti Blue mic, it's got like 4 different channels, so you can either have a group conference or capture everything or just capture what's in front or capture what's in front and behind, so you can have a two-way conversation, captures it in alternative channels with this beautiful little pop thingy, 2 pairs of headphones, right? Dig this. On eBay, $150.
Oh, really?
Plugs directly into your USB, and it is the sharpest quality sound you will ever have. In a professional studio quality mic, $150.
Yes, off air. If you want off air, dude, send me the details on the name. You know how to, you know what the name is and all that again. So,
anybody can find this. If you just Google eBay Yeti Blue,
okay,
it should come up with it. And it's basically, I think that it's so cheap now. To produce something that at least sounds or maybe looks professional. Like, in order to sound professional, you simply need high definition sound. And in order to look professional, you simply need high definition video. And to get both is a matter of about maybe what, $300 to get a professional mic and a little phone thingy that can shoot in HD?
Yeah, really. Well, we'll see. Probably in about, I would say, the end of the month, I'll look into it because I just got the tablet, so I can actually connect everything to the tablet via USB port.
Yep. So if you've got a tool, find out what it can do, and you'll usually find out in the practice of actually using it and in the practice of actually doing something, rather than just getting a tool for a tool's sake. Okay, well, We'll be coming back after the break in about 5 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere, because we'll be back with more of Prince Truth Chaser after the break. And also, we want to go to the callers when you ring in as well. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. And Kyle from Pennsylvania, I'm sorry we didn't get to your call. If you could ring back, we'll go to your calls first. Thank you very much. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. The virus, alert the masses. Two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and allegedly Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the Island Chain Station in the sunny slave South Pacific, where everybody has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb or at a fracking facility. My very special guest, Paul Wesley, a.k.a. Prince Truthseeker, is my guest, and he, not entirely dissimilar to myself, well-spoken young man, gets out there, does the business that the mainstream media should, but of course is paid not to do. Call us, ladies and gentlemen. The caller lines are open, and I always wonder this perplexing, why don't people call into the Vinny Eastwood Show? Am I that much of a slime bag? 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. And also, generally, after the shows, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a Skype account, and if you don't, it's blimmin' easy to get. Go to Skype.com and download Skype. It's just that frickin' simple. You can then come into the Vinny Eastwood Show chat room and give us your Skype name, and we'll add you onto the list, or I'll give you mine, or whatever. And then we have a call after the show, which sometimes lasts like 4 or 5 hours or something like that. That's the real show, okay? That's what a lot of the people in there have been saying. And because it's actually interactive and you get to talk about your lives and everything like that, like we have some amazing stories being passed between truthers who are listeners to this show, okay? We have Olympians, former Olympians, gymnasts and stuff like that who listen to the show, who join in on the Skype calls, who have circumnavigated the globe like 9 times, you know, stuff like that. It's amazing. Everybody's got a story, and if you just listen, you'll actually hear something. We do have a caller, and it's an anonymous one. Are we Legion? Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
I'm on the air. Good. I have a little question for you. Actually, not a question. It's more of a comment. Yesterday, I was actually watching on NASA's website, you know, the landing of that on Mars.
Oh, yeah.
And then right in the middle of it, they flashed, like a second of it, they flashed the pyramid with the eye on the capstone on the back of the dollar bill.
Oh, my God. A little bit of subliminalness.
Yeah, it took like a second. If you watch the slideshow, it's like, flash, and there I was like, what the fuck is that? You know, oops, sorry about that.
And everybody seems to love violating FCC regulations on this. And you know what? I wish we could actually swear on this show, to tell you the truth, because I've got a very, very bad collection of vocabulary of swear words and disgusting things that I've come up with over the years that I want to say but can't on FCC regulations. So on that note, I just want to point out that I apologize to the affiliates and all of that kind of stuff, and also point out to the FCC, if you...
Hey, if they can do it on HBO, why not us, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, CBS, PBS, all I hear is BS.
Exactly.
Kind of getting sick of these mainstream media shills, don't you think? And can I ask, what's the situation like in America with the Olympics coverage? Is it all over the place and going, yeah, there's the middle channel?
You're asking me?
Soaking up half the news hour? Yeah.
Well, I'm in Montreal, Canada. Actually, a little, sorry, just a little bit south of Truth or Girls. Actually, I haven't been watching the Olympics at all. I don't have TV. I haven't watched it for 5 years, so I don't know.
Yeah, if it's not the Winter Olympics, the Canadians aren't interested.
Actually, I'm not interested in any kind of Olympics at all.
Hey, whoa! You've resisted the five rings that were created in Mount Doom to distract us all.
I'm actually from Quebec, and I do not like hockey. So that's a stretch.
Holy cow!
That's
like being a cow and not liking grass.
Exactly. It's just my upbringing. I actually lived in the States for half of my life, so...
Yeah. Maybe I've retained a little bit of the accent, perhaps.
The accent? I have an accent? No,
I'm kidding.
I must.
Yeah. But do you not watch TV or anything like that, or keep up with what's going on?
Nope. For the past 5 years, nope. Haven't watched a bit of TV. Just internet, and that's it.
Wow. That's interesting, man. What about getting out and about? You got drinking buddies or something?
Oh, I got friends here and there, and I take my rides every day. You know, I do a lot of bike riding. I do a lot of motorcycle riding. I got some jobs I do here and there. I do what they call here working under the table, they call it.
Oh, yeah.
Been doing this for many, many years, and even before I knew about this truth movement stuff, I was always like, why should I give half my money to somebody? What the hell is that for?
Yeah, I fully agree with that. And in fact, I know a lot of people now. I'm starting to find a lot of people who've actually been living like that for years. It really is possible to live below the radar and under the table and still completely interact with society and do whatever you want.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. A lot of people do. It's crazy, especially in construction.
Yeah. Well, let's think about this. What actually kind of woke you up to the whole New World Order system? I mean, was it a doco, or were your parents instrumental? Like, people either kind of, as I say, they've either been raised in a certain way and it's kind of inevitable, or they get into the system and then it messes them up and then they get activated against it.
Actually, the system messed me up a lot, and actually my family messed me up a lot also. My parents, no, forget them, forget. They don't want to listen to anything, nothing. It's mostly school screwed everything up for me. Like, when I came back from the States, I was English. And here in Quebec, if both your parents are French, well, you have to go to French school, no matter what. So I had to flunk, like, 3-4 years back, and I was like, ever since then, I was like, nah, the system's not for me. And ever since then, I was, like, against the system. But the New World Order, probably about 5 years now, 6 years.
How do you think the New World Order is going to pan out? Do you think it's going to happen?
Oh, man, I am scared to death, because even people that are bright, this is the freaky thing. Even people that are bright, you could actually have conversations with, but they can't get a grasp on it. There's only, like, I know Vinny says this all the time, it only takes a handful, but if the handful is all scattered all over the place and nobody gets to talk to each other, really? Like, what the hell?
I don't know. It's real strange. I think it's like, have you ever seen Predator? You know, how they send that one elite team in to solve this big problem that all their special forces guys couldn't solve, and crack these weapon smugglers and whatever. You'd be surprised what a crack team can accomplish, that a whole bunch of people all over the place who can communicate with each other really can't.
Yeah.
And I think it's also to our benefit in perhaps a warfare stratagem for many, many disparate truthers and patriots to be all over the place and nobody have any idea that they're there, not even each other, because then they'd never be able to give each other up, would they? And any time that the enemy captures one of us, they'd simply have to, you know, they'd simply have to take out one of us and that's all they'd get. You know, it's like fighting a war against 100 different enemies as opposed to just one enemy who's got many, many troops. It's different.
True. You know? We do have the advantage of observing and knowing what's going on, so we can actually see cliches or, not cliches, but like hints and clues of things, so we can actually probably see things in advance. But it's to actually relay that information that's the problem. That's the hard
part. I say it's just experience. You know, get out there, keep talking to people, keep communicating. I mean, telesales taught me a lot about communicating points to people quickly and having them believe you. All right. Well, anyway, thank you very much for your call, man. And we're going to go now to Kyle from Pennsylvania. Kyle, you're on the air.
You got two Philly boys now, Vinny. You're in trouble.
How you doing, Kyle?
Pretty good, boy. How you doing?
Awesome.
Yeah, I just want to continue with what he was saying. During the whole Occupy Wall Street thing down in Philadelphia, I was walking down there just to, you know, see if I could find any like-minded people. And I would walk up to people and ask them and say, you know, what's got you down here? Why are you protesting Wall Street? And the only answer I ever got was, well, we need to stop the Republicans and we need to stop Wall Street from all their bad deeds. And just absolutely no concept of the larger agenda and the bigger world around them.
Exactly.
So, and I, you know, the people falter due to lack of knowledge, and, you know, somebody, and thank God for this guy, someone's got to do something.
Right.
Have you noticed that how that someone should always be you?
Have I noticed what? Somebody's...
That somebody that we're all waiting for, it always happens to be you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. You know, it goes back to the old saying, if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And,
yeah.
You know, it's an uphill...
It's even worse. I think society's gotten a lot lazier since that original saying, and now it kind of needs to be updated. If you want to do something at all, you've got to do it yourself.
I always find when I'm trying to talk to people and wake them up, there's three stages that people go through. When I first tell people, you know, hey, look, there's a global cabal of international bankers that go back thousands of years that want to dominate the world and the global government, the first thing they say is...
with your sense of self-security.
Well, I understand that, you know, from that initial opening statement, it's a little bit hard to accept, but, I mean, it's the truth.
It's like trying to swallow a corn chip whole.
Oh, it tastes good when it hits your lips, but going down, it sure is painful. And once people do... Hello? Hello, hello.
I can
Carl,
hear you,
if you can.
I'm back. I'm back. I hear you now. Yeah.
What I wanted to ask you is a lot of people, you know, in Philadelphia, where we're from, you know, they a lot of them don't even know about the occupation, the Occupy movement. And from myself doing the videos, because I love to do the videos and interact with people, and a lot of them are beautiful people. And my thing is, you know, I'm kind of 50-50 where I kind of see, like, a lot of people are looking at the small picture and not the big picture. And it's great that everyone's getting together and they want to go up against Comcast and small banks and all. But, you know, that's just like, you know, that's like one Cheerio out of the box. You know what I'm saying,
Kyle? Nobody. And what I find is amazing is when Occupy, Philadelphia, when Occupy Market Street in Philadelphia and that all got started, you had you know, all the councilmen and Michael Nutter, and they were all down there, and they were supporting them, saying, you know, we're here with the people, and I think it's great that people are expressing this and that. But then as soon as the people in New York got together and said, our list of demands are a tax on Wall Street, regulation, you never saw a coin turn so quick in your life. Then it was, get the police down there on the mounted horses, you know, get these people out of there. Now all of a sudden, it's a health issue. And now, you know, people can't be squatting in the streets. Anybody who takes a walk up around Olean or takes any up in Kensington, there's people squatting in the streets daily. Oh, that ain't got nothing to do with it.
Go Kensington and Allegheny. Even worse, Kensington and Somerset, dude. It's horrible, man. I was in the Philadelphia Spirit, you know, the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
I was in, not the Star, but the Philadelphia Spirit.
Know it well, yeah.
Right, so now, my thing is I was in the paper, and the one thing is that Mayor Nutter is doing is they stopped. They could say, me and you want to go on the street and feed the homeless people, like literally set up a table and feed people. You're not allowed to do that now, dude. You get fined and thrown in jail. You believe that?
No, well, they can't afford to have, the only way this system survives is by thinking, I'm in Philadelphia, Vinny's in New Zealand, and there's people in the Middle East that are brown, and we're all separate. The bum on the street, and that by keeping us separated, and by keeping us, I'm this guy, and I'm part of this small group. The minute that you walk up to somebody who's homeless and say, can I give you a piece of bread, or can I give you some, you know, something to drink or whatever, mm-hmm. you can relate with that person. And that ability to communicate and sympathize and say, I can feel for this man, you know, who's in this despair, that leads to, there's no reason why 543,000 people need to die in Iraq because of sanctions on food and medical. And that compassion will lead to change. So they can't have that. And they'll do anything at all to keep us separate.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, 100%. In that case, once you know the enemy agenda, the ultimate thing, realization is to do the direct opposite. They want to keep us apart. Well, we've got to find out as many ways as we can to keep ourselves together, don't you think? And I think having a few laughs, meeting up with good mates and stuff like that, that's a good idea. So maybe, Kyle, if you want to send us in an email through the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and I'll hook you up with Paul here, and you guys can maybe meet up and have a burger or something.
Real quick, Kyle.
We got
Easter at yahoo.com. I just want to throw that out. Sorry about that, buddy.
I would definitely do that. And we also got Mark Passio right in Philadelphia, too, who he is.
Yeah.
If there's something going on in the city.
In fact, you read my mind, man, because I just messaged Mark saying that we're on air with two Philly boys, wondering if he'd want to join in for a few minutes.
and I find it amazing that at the start of the show, it was, there's nobody in Philadelphia who talks like me. There's nobody who sees it. And in the course of, an hour and a half, now you got me, you got Passio. I mean, there is a branch of We Are Change in Philadelphia, but I have my questions about them, to be honest with you.
All right.
But,
Well, let's save your questions until after the break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and the M. Night Shyamalan sense of the word. We're talking about Philly. We'll be right back.
Which framed and taught us our status of God. Our needs are now different, and our aims. The conditions which framed and taught us our status of God. The world we knew is gone.
It's a brand new world, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. On AMFM affiliates all across America, and I'm sure there is a lot of depth to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, have a look around. The amount of work that has been put into this website by me over the past 2 years that this show has been running, you wouldn't believe. Okay? We've got, I've designed over 12 DVDs that you can get. Okay? I'm 27 and I've made 12 DVDs by myself. Yes. There's the humor page, which has 100 plus really, really funny and incredibly well done pictures to the quality of David D's type style. Listener feedback page, a volunteer page, a forum. We've got commercial free archives for those of you who are subscribers, including commercial free videos as well. A little copyright notice there, so just in case, you know, we violate copyright, nobody comes and attacks us. Contact page. You know, the shop, iodine supplements, you can advertise with us. We've got vitamin C DVDs and all of this other kind of stuff. I've got a blog, a bio. Some of the stuff that I've said on the show I've even put down in the quotes page. You know, man, we do really come into some interesting stuff on this show, and there is a lot of depth to all of it. And specifically, I want to direct people towards the archives, the 2012 archives. Because if you ever look at the homepage, it's like, what, nearly 3,000 Facebook shares. But you have a look at the 2012 archives, it's like 16. There's real cool archives there, people. Check them out. All right, Kyle from Pennsylvania, you're still hanging on the line here, man. I'm going to turn this into the Philly half hour or something of that nature. It's because it's just that creamy and spreadable. Welcome back.
Hey, what's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's up? Picking up, I guess, where we left off. Vinny, when I called in and you saw Kyle from Pennsylvania, I mean,
you are from Philly.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, you knew Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I guarantee you walk up to 9 out of 10 people in Philadelphia and tell them to find New Zealand on a map, they absolutely could not do it. And that is, that's the biggest problem. I mean, ignorance is...
Look at it this way, bro. They don't have a radio show in New Zealand, but I do have a radio show in America, so I kind of have to be familiar with it a little bit.
If anybody said New Zealand in Philadelphia, if you got an answer from it, they might say, isn't that where they filmed Lord of the Rings or something? That's it. That's the only concept of it.
Yeah.
And ignorance is the new world order's weapon.
Yeah, to a degree. We have large trolls in these dark underground caverns that we call the Parliament Building and stuff like that. You know, it's pretty freaky out there. And they have orcs that wear police uniforms.
But you have a couple wizards to protect you, so that's good.
Yeah. In fact, we do literally have a wizard that is protecting New Zealand. He's called the Wizard of Christchurch or something like that. And every when they do a census, right, they send out forms to everywhere and these census collecting scum and what have you. What the wizard does is he takes a rowboat and he rows out to international waters while the census is going on and then rows back in.
Wow. He's dedicated.
Yeah. Apparently.
But, I mean, ignorance is... I mean, chemtrails, fluoride, poisoning, they're all tools of the New World Order, but the biggest weapon that they have is ignorance. And that is something that they're responsible for it, but people have to have a certain level of accountability and realize you can't just let the world pass you by. No one's going to hand you information and say, here, take this, unless you bump into, someone like us three. But people need to be responsible for learning what's happening in the world around them.
Absolutely. Hey, Kyle.
Yo.
I kind of feel also like, you know, once you give truth to someone and they see what's going on because they're, in their comfort zone with their PS3s and, their iPads and their little gadgets, everyone's comfortable. So it's like once they find the truth, Are they going to be willing to get off their, you know, their butts and their couches and do something about it? And the sad answer is, dude, I don't think so, man.
Well, and the greatest thing that the truth has going for it is the fact that it's true. And I find out when you tell somebody, hey, listen, this is the reason why things are the way that they are. If they, truth will resonate with people, and it will hit them at a level where they say, you know what? The fact that I was told for 10 years that 9/11 was the fault of, you know, people screwing up across the board and just total incompetence. But then somebody tells me that, no, it was a highly orchestrated false flag attack on New York City. The truth has a way of cutting eyes to people. I mean, it will hit people and it will stick with them. And even at that moment, if they walk away and say, you're crazy, I don't believe it, somewhere down the line, they're going to see something that just doesn't make sense to them or doesn't fit into what they have been told, and they're going to go back to what you told them, and that's right. What it's going to say. Because you can tell people anything. Whether they listen or not is arbitrary. They almost need to find out for themselves. They need to have that realization of, oh my God, as much as I don't want to believe this, this is the best and most plausible. To think that every problem in this world is because of, you know, people's incompetence, that is just incredibly naive to think that. And I think that once you accept the fact that, you know, no, things aren't this way by accident. They're designed to be this way. Everything is wrong for a reason. That has a way of sticking, and that is motivating the people.
Yeah. And I find this particularly works when you're in public meetings, things of that nature. If you're the one truth speaker who stands up and says something, you have a huge effect on that crowd. Like last night, for instance, we had these two guys commenting on the sale of New Zealand and trade and all of that kind of stuff. And I told them that I'd interviewed Branko Milanovic. He's the lead research economist for the World Bank on inequality, economic inequality. And I asked him point blank, does privatization of you know, state assets or selling off of land and strategic reserves and things like, is that ever beneficial? Has it ever been? And he said in his professional opinion that no, never been. Now, because that's the truth, and the other guys didn't have anything to argue with it, guess what their argument was? I don't believe you, and I don't know why anybody who talks like that would be working for the World Bank.
Exactly.
That's it takes the facts that he's got to defend against it? Come on. Pathetic slime.
It's like saying, you know, what you just did was wrong on this, and level. And then that person turns around and said, yeah, well, you got a big head. You know, it's non sequitur. And it.
After that happened, after I asked that question, a couple of people came up after all the debate and everything was over and asked what my name was and if I had a radio show or something like that. So just sitting there in a whole group of people who I thought were stiffs and investors and establishment sycophants, I found about half a dozen truthers who are now going to start listening to my radio show or watching my videos probably. Okay, you put yourself out there. It's like you're in the long grass or something like that. You stick your neck out. Not only can you see where all the predators are, they can see you, but also your allies can see you and rush to your aid.
Right.
Well, you're most protected at your most visible. If you're, you know, I know something top secret and
I don't know, man. I know some mates who are snipers who would disagree with you, but go ahead.
Well, generally, I'll say, you know, if you're out there and you're, you know, in front of, you know, a crowd of people, and you stand up and say, you know, why did your bank take $2 billion of taxpayers' money and send it offshore to England during the bailout? There's not much that they can do to you
right then and there. And as long as you can keep a certain level of visibility and stay on the radar, then for the most part, you think you're going to be okay. Now, some people will accidentally shoot themselves in the head three times, and some people will accidentally cut their heads off while shaving, but that is, I would say that that is the exception, not the rule.
Well, you know what? I find that the human race is rather exceptional, and it breaks all the rules. You know, that's basically the nature of it. I don't know how long it took me to start to realize that anything that has rules and regulations and what have you that isn't explained, they should be broken and tested. And if you get a backlash from it, then you're sort of like, oh, yeah, now I know why that rule's there. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I have to learn firsthand. You know, like I have to be tortured in order to know that torture's bad.
Well, if you see on the back of a Drano bottle, you know, do not use Drano as toothpaste. You know, it begs the question, somebody probably used Drano as toothpaste at some point for them to have to put this warning on the back of this label, which...
Yeah, really.
Okay, that's a good enough reason for it right there.
Okay. Well, Kyle, I wanted to know just kind of what woke you up to kind of thing. Are you getting out there? Are you being active? Are you doing videos? Or I know you're calling into radio, man, so you're definitely a lot more active than 1,000 times as many people. So, yeah.
Well, there's actually a local radio station in Philadelphia, and it's a, you know, hardcore conservative talk show. And I'd say half of the guys on the radio station are local guys, and the other half are nationally syndicated. And I heard a local guy on the radio. Is that the commercial?
No, that sounds like an ice cream truck going past somebody's. Maybe he's going to go out. Ask him for one with chocolate sprinkles and some nuts, bro. No, wait. It's probably just the local Philly pedophile luring the children in.
Ding! Yeah.
Working for CPS on the side.
Well, you know.
I'm outside right now, dude, and I'm looking in the sky, I'm just looking in the sky, and I don't see a blue sky. Do you notice that? Can you see all the haze if you look out your door right now?
I see some blue sky, but it's definitely, it's sticky and nasty, and I can definitely see a distinct chemtrail that was there at one point about 2 hours ago that is now dispersed over the sky greatly.
And as far as, like, the fluoride in our water and all, I mean, you're, like, you know, when a lot of people from Philly hear this, I mean... You know, we're both from Philadelphia, and what would your message be to people who really think that it's fake and, you know, that we're crazy and we don't know what we're talking
about? My message to everybody in Philadelphia would be turn off the sports talk radio, stop watching. If you spend as much time watching, you know, listening to people like Vinny Eastwood and reading up on history as you did watching the Philadelphia Eagles, your life would be dramatically better. And, oh, God, Philadelphia, the mayor before Nutter, John Street, is
John
the
Street.
Biggest example of corruption in politics. Yet, there's a very good chance he could have got voted back in because people were ignorant and he was black. Not to try to make this a racial thing, but if you are a Democrat and you're black in the city of Philadelphia and you run for office, you're in there. I mean, you're solid gold. You might as well get the seat ready for you now. And this tribalism and this sense of, you know, I can relate to him, so I trust him. That doesn't mean anything.
It goes back to what you were saying earlier about separating us, too, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. I mean, the cops in Philadelphia are
the cops in Philadelphia are goons. I mean, they make their goons. They make New York goons look like, you know, petty thugs. But the Philadelphia cops are absolute goons, and they are. I mean, I've been up to cops who have flat out said, you know, look at that, you know, black guy over there. He's up to something. Right. Or, you know, look at this guy. He's doing something. And that is that separation, man. That we just got it. Like the Vinnie Eastwood song says, unity.
We've got to come together on the points we agree and leave the rest. And thank Kyle. Thank you for your call. We'll be right back, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about comedy and scumbaggery, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on a fabulous American Freedom Radio network all across America and around the world in the Fourth Reich sense of the word. And my very special guests, it's now plural, yes, you heard that correctly, is Paul, the truth, the Prince Truth Chaser, and of course we're now joined by Freighter X.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Yeah. And what's up? What's up, man? You wanted to come on the show, and there's apparently some whistleblower that you're interviewing coming up.
Yeah, it's no big deal. You know, just a little something. I thought maybe people might. I don't know. Somebody might think it was interesting. Yeah, I don't even know. Maybe I shouldn't even come on. It's not really a big deal or nothing, right?
That's a huge. It's like the biggest breakthrough in exposing Freemason scumbaggery and the war inside it since, like, ever.
Yeah, it's pretty huge, actually, yes. It turns
come on,
out...
Come on. For frack's sake, I hate you, occultist. You're all cryptic about Shiite Muslim. Just get
well, I have to,
out
I have to be properly
out.
Prepared to receive the dark occulted information.
You read old dusty tomes in Rosicrucian underground libraries that are like protected by centurion guards wearing red capes, like on Return of the Jedi. Don't tell me you're unprepared. Come on, out with it, man.
All right, no, seriously. Yes, in fact, we do have wow. We have a former administrative employee to the Supreme Council of Dallas, Texas, Scottish Rite, who has contacted me. He actually wrote a book. It was released on the New Year, New Falcon Books. It's an amazing opportunity for us to look at the Supreme Council from the inside. This guy was literally number three in line to the Grand Commander of the Supreme Council. That is, in fact, Albert Pike's seat, ladies and gentlemen. This guy's number was 2 degrees separation away from him, even though he's only a 32-degree Mason himself, as a paid assistant to the Secretary General, who's an assistant to the Grand Commander. He had access and was privy to all kinds of inner chamber conversations. I mean, it's an amazing opportunity for us. And he'll be on my show on the 18th on American Freedom Radio at 8 o'clock Central Standard Times. And he's available to Vinnie Eastwood, your lovable voice down under, everyone. If you want to have Vinnie take a crack at him, too, you know, let him know because... I don't know, maybe he doesn't think it's a big deal. He doesn't seem to want to get back to me about scheduling them, guys. I thought Vinny was all about getting you guys the info, but I don't know.
Well, I've got a full schedule. Like, what have I got? I've got...
You were sick.
You wanted me to have him on the 23rd. On yes. the 23rd, I've got John Walls, who is a UFO abductee who freaked the hell out of everybody on 2020. Anthony J. Hilder talking about the Olympics.
Come on,
Lindsay William, guy named Anthony Peake, Anthony Independence, and Philip Keeve, who's a who's like a blog or social media commentator. So yeah, I'm full up for quite a bit, and I'm always organizing. But
with the proviso that I can also do interviews off-air via Skype with either audio or video. So if this guy has Skype fader, man, I can hook it up like today pretty much.
Well, yeah, that's the way we should go because, you know, I'm sure all those other guys have the dogs of woes nipping at their heels but from the Illuminati as well and are worried and running from state to state for their lives, just like this guy, right?
Yeah.
No, they're not. But anyway, yeah.
When I send Skype requests to people,
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, ma'am. But I'll send a Skype request to them, and normally when I do that, I say, "Please accept the Skype request. Once you do, a drone will be sent to your house."
Yeah, right. No, seriously. Let me just tell you a quick little anecdotal story here. This guy literally was driven out of Dallas, Texas. He had to relocate in an undisclosed state in America. And literally within a week, he called the FBI. He received a package with white powder in it. Homeland Security got involved. They helped him to move. And within a week, the Scottish Rite knew where he was, and he told no one. So I don't know. They got their own surveillance. I mean, they're probably working with Apple. I mean, or Google
there's bound to be penetration of Masons within law enforcement. I mean, how can there not be? In the UK, I think it was something like they've got 36,000 out of a couple of hundred or something like that. Something like 33% or tens of thousands of sworn police officers who are sworn to uphold the law are also sworn to Freemasonry as well. And in fact, Charlie Veach, he was out there one time and he got approached by a cop and he noticed on his finger there was a Freemasonic ring, you know, so it's out there, but...
Obviously, great minds think alike because you came to the same conclusion that I did in half a second. I was like, you know, wasn't J. Edgar Hoover a 33rd degree Scottish Rite? Yes. So I don't think there's anyone you're going to be safe with the FBI giving you the, you know, pointers.
Yeah, and isn't there like only 33rd degree Freemasons on the world at any one point, like in order to become initiated to the next level, one of them has to die or whatever?
In the southern jurisdiction. Then there's 66 in the northern, which makes 99 altogether. You know, like the 99 percenters. I don't know. It's weird, right? They're actually the 1 percenters, but they call themselves the 99. I don't know.
Now, what's the Freemasons?
They wear little white hats, too. They have funny little bellhop hats, too.
With the Freemasons, after the 33rd degree, doesn't that, don't they initiate you in the Illuminati?
Well, see, this is the misconception of most people, Paul, and that is that. The Freemasons only have 3 degrees. Scottish Rite is a separate organization that's like a pilot fish, which has attached itself to the proper Freemasonic system. So there's really only three degrees in Freemasonry. But the Scottish Rite wants everybody to think that there's actually 32 degrees and then 33 because that's, you know, it's more convenient. It helps them to have authority and legitimacy, which in fact they're frauds. So, but that's a whole other story.
Just like every other form of authority and legitimacy.
Yeah, isn't that weird how that seems to be the case across the board? You know, churches, governments, it's all a farce, really. You know, they tell us they're here, you know, law and order and stuff. When it's really chaos, you know, it's crazy.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to now adopt a general rule of thumb. Anybody who comes up to me claiming to have some form of authority, I'm going to say, frick you! You don't have any authority, you're a fraud and a scumbag. Leave me alone. I haven't hurt nobody. I haven't stolen anybody's stuff. So get the frack out of my face.
Well, I want to. Yeah, you're right. And you know, Vinny, just for a moment, I wanted to say that I find all this incredibly remarkable to me, considering that within the last month, we've really stepped up the promotion of the publication of the book I'm working on called "The Secret War Inside Freemasonry," which is supposed to be going to the presses. Spring 2013. And, you know, all of a sudden now I'm being...
Did you just say your book is going to depress us in 2016? What?
No, actually, it's going to uplift us, but it's going to the press. You're such a punster. So anyways, what I was saying...
I am a cunning linguist and a master debater.
Yeah, you are a master debater. But the fact of the matter is that it just seems remarkable to me, doesn't it? That they, you know, being contacted... And I'll be honest, you know, I've been contacted by other... individuals that I don't want to disclose at this moment, we'll talk about this more as time goes by, that have basically scared the fracking crap out of me, okay? This is the moment where the beast has finally reared its ugly head at me. And I got to tell you, it's no coincidence. I feel as if, you know, I threw a rock at a giant monster and it turned around and said, come here, Fluffy. You know?
All right, well, you heard it here first. Freighter's execution will be televised.
Yes, August 18th, American Freedom Radio, everybody.
Exactly. You need to join the Google Plus group for the live execution.
Don't call us. We'll call you, everybody. We all know, we already know who wants to listen.
Yeah. All right, well, we're coming to the end of the show now. So, Freda, it was nice to know you. And
thank you. Remember me, all of you, in your prayers. Everyone, please. Have a wonderful evening.
Yeah, awesome. But, dude, contact me also, man.
Oh, absolutely. Paul, FraderXFreeZone at gmail.com, Paul.
All right. Excellent, dude. Awesome.
All right, man. Nice to see you. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you very much for having me on, Vin.
Thanks, Freda, man. I might not see you again sometime.
We'll talk to you soon.
The Masons. Right, now, I was wanting you to give out your email there as well, Paul, before the show ends, so that Kyle can get in touch with you, and I'll also put you in touch with Mark Passio. So there you go. You'll have a Philly trifecta. How about them apples?
How about that, man? That's how we got to do it.
Yep. The way I see it, and I'm going to violate FCC regulations on purpose now. I'm going to read out my Facebook status. It's just probably the stupidest choice of my entire career, but yeah. If I can even find it. Yes. Well, it's something about us. Here we are. The way I look at it, we either help each other in any way we can, or we're all fucked in every way we can be. Right. So I want to thank you, you for coming on the show today and for doing everything that you do in the streets, talking to people, getting stuff done. I hope you get your new mic and everything. That'll be choice, bro. And basically, onward and upward, keep doing the same thing that you're doing because you're obviously getting better at it.
Right. Thanks a lot, man. And I appreciate you having me on the show, Ben. Thank you. And you know, keep doing what you're doing, man, because you know, you're an inspiration to a lot of people, too.
Yeah, well, the best way to do something that inspires others is just to do something that inspires yourself, really. It's not that complicated. Right, so, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening in. And if you are wanting to listen to a little bit more of me, I will be with the illustrious, the fabulous Charlie McGrath on wakenews.net within the next 5 minutes. So, wakenews.net. And we will see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. And make sure you check out youtube.com/PrinceTruthChaser. youtube.com/PrinceTruthChaser. Thank you very much for listening.